Thank you. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to give you some thoughts to think about. I'm not going to ask you to agree with what I'm not bringing anything controversial, by the way, just so we'll kill that thought. But I just want to give you some thoughts to think about, chew on throughout the week. And ask the Lord, what about this? What about what he said? Is that really right? And I want you to be free to think that way. I want you to be free. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Okay? So it it gives them warm fuzzies when you use your brain. It really does. He loves to see you do that. He loves to see us do that. To use it and to think things through. He really does. The comma. I read somewhere, probably in one of the news articles, that, you know, with the texting we do and the different ways we dialogue now through email, through texting, through whatever, social media and that, that some people would just like to see punctuation and all that go the way of the buffalo, right? Just go away. We don't need it. It's redundant. You can figure out a person's text by what they, and especially that one punctuation mark, the comma, not a big deal. Not a big deal. I understood what they were saying, but I go, no, big deal, big deal. It's a really big deal, I think. The more I think about that, the more I go, yeah, the comma is very important. And I don't know if you've heard this story before, but there's a story of a panda bear that walks into a cafe. He orders a sandwich, sits down, eats it, pulls out a gun, and starts shooting in the air. And the waiter, shocked, goes, why? As the panda bear is getting up and leaving and walking out the cafe door, and he pulls out this little badly punctuated wildlife manual and throws it over his shoulder. He says, you go look it up. I'm a panda. So the waiter finds the appropriate section where it says about panda. Sure enough, this is what it reads. Can you shift that for me, Chris? There we go. Does the comma matter? It would have helped the panda. Right? It would have helped the panda to understand. That's not the way to look at it. That's not who you are. There's another. How do you read that? Some people would, I heard someone say true. Some people would read it like this, right? Same words. Some read it like this. Right? Okay. So, we've settled that. Is the comma important? Absolutely it is. I can't begin to think, as I look through my life, there's something about getting older and grayer and balder that, you know, with it comes wisdom. Because as I look back, if I could go back 30 years ago, I was much like a panda bear, okay? This is what I read to understand, and this is how I behave accordingly. And it wasn't until I started to go through life and have some curveballs thrown my way, begin to read things differently, have other people challenge me in how I was understanding my faith, how I was understanding life. And as I got some wisdom, that I started to see things just a little bit differently, just a little bit differently. There's one story I want to share with you. And I remember when I went over to Terry's place. I don't know if it was, I think it was for the first time. was looking out the, and it has these big windows. I was looking out over the yard, and in front was this torn down, derelict old barn. Foundation of it, stones. To me, it's an old piece of thing. It's just an old foundation that needs to be torn down and cleared up. Not necessarily so. He had left it standing. And it was almost like he just went, look at it this way. And when it, when I changed perspective, all of a sudden it went from run down, done old barn to a beautiful piece of art. And I was like, wow, how come I didn't see that before? Well, see, that's just like moving the comma, right? You move it, and it changes everything. Changes everything. And I've always remembered that image, that what I see, what I might think is a rundown old building is actually a beautiful piece of art. It's gorgeous. And it's like, ah, wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. And you know one, the other thing I've come to discover as I've gotten older is this. There are a lot of religious people who are like panda bears. A lot of I've been a panda bear so many times in my life. And it's no fun. I see something a certain way and I say, that's the way you see it, just like that. That's the way it is. And I think for religious people, they live life with misplaced commas. I think that's what they do. Commas are just in the wrong place. They just need to move the comma over or take it away, or they need to see how it is. And when Jesus was here on earth, you know what I think he did? I think he walked around the earth, or I think he walked around Jerusalem and all those places there, telling stories. And when he told the story, they were just simple stories, just simple everyday life stories, right? They were his parables. They were just little things that could connect with people. But I think what he did is he shifted commas around. And when he did that, people experienced that type of a thing where they go, oh, I didn't see it that way. Because you read those and you go, oh, really? Really? And I believe that's what he did. And there's many stories like that throughout the Gospels and even throughout Scripture. And we can sometimes read, because see, that's black and white, right? No, let's go the other way. Can I go the other way? That's black and white. That's black and white. Same words, all the same words. And we can sometimes read Scripture and go, no, it says it black and white. That's how we read. That's just the way it is. Not necessarily so. And I want to tell you one story that Jesus told. And it's this story here that's found in Matthew 20. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to hear it. Jesus speaking to just a big group of people. Don't know how many. Maybe 20, maybe 50, maybe 100. Who knows? And he goes, for the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And he agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And at 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around, and he asked them, why haven't you been working today? And they replied, because no one hired us. And the landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. And that evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. And when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. And when those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. And when they received their pay, they protested to the owner, these people worked only an hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. And he answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Well, take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. And that was his story. Now, here's my question for you. It's a guess I have, but I guess as you heard that story, you heard that through, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, through a certain lens. You may have heard through the 6 a.m. lens, or maybe you heard it through the 9 or 12 or the 3, or maybe you heard it through the 5, but you heard it through a lens, and that lens is how you see yourself. That's my guess. Now, that story used to bug me a lot. It used to bug me a lot for one reason, because there's books out there called, you know, The Difficult Sayings of Jesus or The Difficult Teachings of Jesus or whatever. This was one difficult one for me because as far as I was concerned, it was, of course it's unfair. You work 12 hours, I work 12 hours, and I get X number of dollars, and you work 1 hour, and you get the same amount? Time out. That's not fair. That's not right. I worked 12-hour shift. You worked a 1-hour shift. What's up with that? It's not fair. And I would argue with God. And I heard teachers and preachers teach about it's just God's generosity, or this is God's economy. This is how it works in heaven. This is how it works in the kingdom. It's not our economy. That's why it doesn't seem fair to us, and on and on. And so I adjusted to it, right? You adjust to it. And these are one of these things where you try to force fit. If it actually happened in real life that you got paid, you worked 12 hours, got paid 12 hours, and your buddy worked 1 hour, got paid 12 hours, it wouldn't, you know, this thing doesn't jive, right? But it just used to grate on me a bit. It was just one of those things, I can't figure this one out, can't figure it out. And it wasn't until about 11 or 12 years ago, Art was senior pastor at the time, I was his assistant, and he was doing a series, and he wanted me to teach on one Sunday, and he said, gave me this passage here, teach on that one. And just whatever, you know, the Lord, as you unpack it, just teach us what the Lord gives you. And so it was like, okay. It was like, okay, so I got to make it nice. And as I was preparing it, it was one of those things, one of those senses that it was sort of like, as I didn't hear God say this, but this is what it felt like. It felt like God was saying, good effort, but you got it all wrong. It was like, you know, because I wanted, you know, this God's generosity. I guess he's really generous, you know? And it was like, I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't know what the point is then. And it was like, it was frustrating because when you hit a brick wall, it's like, I don't get it. And it was almost like, well, and so I asked, so what is it? And it doesn't come like right away. Like you get up and, you know, you go do something else. Usually it's vacuuming. And it's in the vacuuming sometimes that God really, seriously, weird. Don't understand that one. I think April and him have a deal going on. I'll stump him. He'll go to vacuuming. He'll get done. I don't know. Anyway. It was like he did with the same thing with a derelict barn that I saw as derelict, but was actually a piece of work of art. It's like he just tilted my head, or it's like he just moved the comma over. Because I remember when the realization hit me, it was like, because the realization was, it was like he said, Scott, you are a 5 o'clock worker, by the way. You know that, eh? You know you showed up at 5. And I said, because I had read that as a, if not a 6 o'clock worker, at least 8 o'clock a.m., but not 5. And it was like he was gently saying, you're a 5 o'clock worker. You're 5. You know that. You do know that, right? And it was like, five? And it wasn't an accusation. It wasn't a like, oh, you suck, man, you showed up, but you know, it wasn't that. It was almost like compassion oozing from God going, yeah, you showed up at five, man. You did. And it was just like, it changed everything in me. And then he said this. He said, I need you to read that again. Okay? Read it again. If you're a 5 o'clock worker, I want you to read it. And I read that. And none of the feelings that I had before were there. Everything had shifted. Everything. Everything. Guess what? The landowner wasn't unfair. You can't read that and go, well, that's unfair. No. It was like, man, he was so nice to me. It was a feeling of, why me? It's like someone walks up to you and gives you a mitt full of cash for no reason, just because they like you. It's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, it's nothing. They just give, they, here, go here. You go, what? Here. For what? Nothing? Here. That's what it was like. I saw the 5 p.m. workers in a totally different light. They're no longer, well, you know, because you have an image of people who would show up 1 hour, you know, who haven't worked all day and show up late, wouldn't you? You have an image in your head that you go, who they are, whatever that looks like in your head, but you can peg some people. And it was like, I have something in common with these people. There's something in common that I have with them. It's definitely something in common. They're my friends. I understand what they're feeling because I know what I'm feeling. And it was just this compassion that just oozed from me towards them. And just, it was just this feeling of, oh God, you're so good. You're so good. And it changed how I saw God, changed how I saw others, changed how I saw myself, and it was beautiful. There's something about being a 5 o'clock worker. You know what ends? You know what stops? Well, it stops while you're in the moment. You get back into your usual rut because you can fall back into these other attitudes of being a 6 a.m. worker. But you know what changes? You have nothing bad to say about anyone, just about, basically, right? Because how can I? I understand, I get it. I know what it's like to walk in at 1 hour left for working time and you get paid a full day's wage. I get it, got it. I don't compare myself. Why? I got nothing to compare. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to compare. But it just changes everything. I felt blessed. It just changes your perspective. And let me tell you something. If we can adopt this attitude, man, we're 5 o'clock. And that's the point. You read scripture. That's the point, right? It's you're a 5 p.m. worker. If you think you're a 12, if you want to cut some slack and say, well, okay, I'm not perfect, but I'm not bad, put me at 12 noon. No. You're five. You're five. Paul, who was a brilliant Christian and a brilliant religious guy, said, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst. You look at the people who we lift up as they are men and women of character and godly people. You look at the people throughout Scripture who we lift up and go, they rock. Oh, they are 5 o'clock people, man. They are 5 o'clock. And Paul almost was comfortable being 5 o'clock. Because Paul said something in one of his letters, he says something like this. He says, I'm going to boast in my weakness. In other words, I'm going to boast in that I showed up at 5 o'clock. Why? Because it boasts about God's greatness. It speaks about Jesus. I can't be me. I can't do it. Of course I can't do it. It's him. It's all about him. And it's beautiful. And I want you to remember that. That's a comma we commonly misplace. It's easy to read. It's easy for our ego to show up. It's easy for that to rise up. And we forget. But when we see ourselves, and it's not a degrading perception of ourselves, it's how we truly, it's our brokenness. It's the brokenness of humanity. We're 5 p.m. workers, folks. But we are engaged with a God who loves us so much that he gives us a full day's wage. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. Let me tell you something. If you're just wondering whether you want to be a follower of Jesus or not, you're not sure, you're just checking this thing out, let me tell you something. If you're thinking it's too late, you've messed up your life too much, no way. You haven't. You haven't. If you know what? There's no such thing as too late. You look at the guy who was on the cross. He was a thief. He was condemned. Too late for him? Not too late. Did he get a full day's wage? He gets a full day's wage. Why? Because we serve a God who is so loving, so wants us, so desires us. That's how gracious he is. That's how wonderful he is. And if you read some of Paul's letters, Paul talks about this extravagant love of God. His prayer for the Ephesians is that they would know the depth of this love. They would know it. They would encounter it because it changes everything. It changes the way you view life, changes the way you walk out. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. We come, you know, we do ministry time in that for healing, for our, maybe it's bodies, for our minds, for our souls or emotions, we come up. But we come up with an attitude of, because usually there's a sense of desperateness, right? I'm here to get prayed for. Why? Because I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And it's usually in those places when you're come to the end of the road, when you're there, that's when you present yourself to the Lord and you go, all I can do is show up, Father. That's all I can do. And God moves and he speaks to us.